Good morning. Good morning, Grace Christian Church family. We're glad you're with us this morning. And we're streaming live from Monmouth Battlefield State Park in Monmouth County, New Jersey. It's a wonderful Sunday morning. A little overcast, but we're out here worshiping God. Amen. We're so glad you're with us this morning. And I want to remind everybody, we just had a worship set of four songs, wonderful songs. My wife led us into worship. Please go back and listen to those prior to listening to me after this message, amen, or after this message, amen. So I'm going to preach a message this morning titled, Knowing Him, Knowing Me. Knowing Him, which is Christ, and knowing me, being in Christ. And we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. And this little portion of scripture is about Paul wanting to know about Christ and wanting to know about the power of his resurrection. Amen. And we're going to dig into that and unpack that today. It's a good model for us, brothers and sisters, to follow. Amen. But I mention this every week that my sermon notes are on Facebook, our Facebook page, Grace Christian Church of Monmouth County. And those notes are also on our website, njgrace.org. We encourage you to download them and follow along at your leisure. Also, we have a prayer meeting every Wednesday night at 7:30 East Coast time. If you want to join, click on the Zoom link and we'll love to have you and pray with you. And also, we encourage you to join Christ is Our Life Movement. It's a page on Facebook where we have daily devotionals and postings about Christ is life, grace, the new covenant, our identity in Christ, and our identification with Christ. Amen. So the last several weeks, I've been talking a lot about knowing. And I made this statement a couple of times, and I'll repeat it again. I think it's worth repeating. And this is what I've been saying. I know some things. I will never know everything. And sometimes I feel like I know nothing. Have you felt like that? You know some things. I see some hands raised. I know some things. I'll never know everything. There's so much to know. You know, but sometimes I just feel like I know nothing. Do you feel like that? My brothers and sisters, we've been talking a lot about what we need to know as a Christian, what we need to know how to live the Christian life. And I want to key in on three important points I covered the last few weeks. And Paul mentioned this. He said, do we know, do we not know certain things about ourselves and about who we are once we believe the gospel message? It's so important. And he stated those questions, those three questions in Romans 6. And Romans 7. And remember the question he asked back in Romans 6, 3. I covered this a few weeks ago. He said, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? It's worth repeating. It's worth repeating because that whole section of scripture is talking about you being baptized into Christ, being placed into Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And the whole point of Romans 6, 1 to 11 is this, that we died, brothers and sisters, to the power of sin. We died to the power of sin. Paul wanted us to know that as a believer. We died to it. We're no longer in bondage to it because we've risen to newness of life in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth. He wanted us to know. And then also he said in Romans 6:16, do you not know, remember this, that when you present yourselves to someone as a slave for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience, resulting in righteousness. That word present also is the word offer or yield. When you offer yourself to sin, old patterns, okay, that you've died to, you're a slave to. But if you offer yourself to God as alive from the dead, brothers and sisters, he uses you, he transforms you, works in your life, and he conforms you into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? And then this last part, in Romans 7, 1, he said, do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. And what is the point there? If you died, and we did die spiritually, we saw it in Romans 6, and Romans 7, he's saying, if you died, you are no longer under what? This thing called law. What an important, what a earth-shattering truth. When we died on the cross with Jesus, when we rose with Jesus on the cross, the newness of life, we died to the law. No longer are we under it. We are under grace. We are connected to Christ and we bear fruit to God. Amen? So many Christians don't know that. That's why I want to repeat that and show you what you had in Him. Amen. But Paul also wanted to know other things. And when he scanned his life, and you know, you look at Philippians, and he said, I want to know what? I want to know more about Christ. Okay? I want to know more about Him. I want to know more about the power of His resurrection. And personally, Paul made it a goal in his life to know Christ, to know God. And that is a wonderful goal. That is a wonderful thing to pursue. That's a wonderful, awesome way to live life, is to get to know God, to get to know Christ, and to know the power of His resurrection in us. So I'm going to look at this today. Paul explains his life goal in Philippians 3, 7 to 10. Thus my message is titled, Knowing Him, which is Christ, and Knowing Me, being in Christ. And we're going to look at three aspects of knowing Christ. And these are going to be the three points of my message this morning. One is not knowing Christ. We'll look at that. Second point will be the value of knowing Christ. And the third point will be intimately knowing Christ. Now I'm going to read Philippians 3, 7 to 10, and we're going to open this time in prayer. So if you have your Bibles, follow along. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. Let's bow our heads and open this time in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for Paul's example of making a goal in his life to know You, to know You intimately, to know who You are, and in turn to know who He is. I pray, Lord, that we would also make it a priority to get to know You so You can speak to our souls, so You could teach us and guide us and transform us and give us joy and give us peace and give us a purpose, Lord. But if we don't know You, we don't know we can go to You and even hear from You. So I prayed, Lord, we would just take it to heart this morning. We would approach You and know You intimately as a goal as in our lives. Here on this earth, waiting to be with You forever when we leave this physical body, to be with You for eternity. But in the meantime, Lord, we want to know who You are. I pray for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So point one, not knowing Christ. This is Philippians 3, 7 and 8a, the beginning verse, and I'm going to tag on the last part of verse 8. This is what Paul says. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss. Now I'm adding in the second last part. And count them but rubbish. Okay? So what is Paul saying? That these things that he thought were gain to him, these things that he thought would help him in life, these things he thought would make him holy, these things he thought would make him accepted by God, these things he thought would keep him in line, were lost. But you got to know Paul. We have to know a background of Paul before we can even really unpack his life. Because this is what Paul was in verses 3, 5 to 6. This is Paul. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. We know the history. We know Paul. We know, if you know the scriptures, you know Paul, right? Before his conversion, right? Before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Before that, he was a persecutor of the church. He was a Pharisee. As to the law, he says, found blameless. So what is Paul saying? As to the law, he kept it as best humanly possible, brothers and sisters. 613 laws, sisters. You know what? His attempt, he's saying, my attempting to be made right with God, my attempting to be accepted by God, my attempting to be indwelt with the Spirit, my attempt to become spiritually alive was a loss. I thought there were gain to me, but they mean nothing. You know what? His attempt to be made holy and righteous and accepted, he said, was lost. Brothers and sisters, does that describe you? Now, you might say, you know, I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. Yes, maybe you are a non-Jew, which means you're a Gentile. But you know, us Gentiles, and I'm a Gentile too, we have a different way we approach God before we know Christ. And that is the good person theology, right? If I'm a good person, and if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, and if my good behavior outweighs my bad behavior, and if I don't sin as much or I sin more, I tilt the scales. We think I tilt the scales in God's direction to accept me. But brothers and sisters, there's no doctrine in the Bible, there's no theology in the Bible that states being a good person is the ticket to eternal life. There is no scripture that states being a good person imparts spiritual life. There is no scripture that says being a good person makes me righteous. There's no scripture that says being a good person gives me eternal life. No, it doesn't, brothers and sisters. And we've been sold the bill of goods in the world system. You know, the evil one wants us to think that if I'm just a good person, God will accept me. If I'm just a good person, God will let me enter into heaven. If I'm just a good person, God will give me eternal life. God will give me his spiritual life. God will give me Christ's life. God will forgive my sins. Brothers and sisters, nowhere in the scripture does it say that. Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. Don't be deceived. But we don't follow the law, most of us, but we follow the good person theology. A good person, a way we approach living life. Thinking, if I just do enough good, at the end, God will give me life. God will accept me. But that's not in the Bible, brothers and sisters. There's no such thing as being a good person or following a good person law that imparts spiritual life, brothers and sisters. Because what is the purpose of the law? We talk about this a lot in this church. What is the purpose of the law? Why did God give the law to Moses, the Mosaic law? Why did God give all these rules and regulations to the Israelites, brothers and sisters? There's a reason. The reason is, one, to show them and explain what sin was, but more than that, it was to show them that complete holiness that's described in the law cannot be achieved in human effort. That's Paul's point. He could not keep the law. He says, as far as humanly possible, I was blameless at keeping it. But the law has a design, and the law is designed for an unbeliever. The law is designed for somebody to show them they cannot meet God's holy standard, brothers and sisters. If you coveted it, you broke one of the Ten Commandments. Right? If you never honored your mother and father, you broke one of the Ten Commandments. And once you broke it, you broke them all. You broke them all, and you're separated from God and separated from the life of Christ. Amen? You need spiritual life. Amen? But the law is to show us we can't keep it, right? The law is to show us we can't. Paul realized he couldn't. And that's where many of us are today. Either we're trying to do that, keeping some rule, or good person theology, thinking we can get eternal life. Brothers and sisters, you cannot get eternal life by being a good person. Amen? Because Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So in other words, he's the end of it. He's the conclusion of it, right? You can't make it. You need him. He's the end of the law for righteousness. Paul thought being religious was this positive gain in his life. He thought being a good person was being a gain in his life. He thought following the law was making a gain for his life. Do you think being religious and doing good deeds is a gain in your life? brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. Wow. Think about that. The power of sin is in the law. So what you're saying to me is, if I try to keep the law, I'm under the power of sin and I sin more? Yes. Think about that. Paul talks about that in Romans 7. When I try to keep the law, it arouses sinful passions in me. You don't think it'll arouse sinful passions in you if you try to keep the law? If you try to be a good person, you think it'll arouse sinful passions? It doesn't matter. Law, good person theology, whatever it is. He said, I thought it was gain to me, but it wasn't gain. He found Christ. He said, I count it as loss. I count it as loss. And he uses the word rubbish. Okay? NASB says rubbish. Other versions say worthless, filth, garbage, and dung. Imagine that, dung. We know what dung is, right? He says, all these things I thought were gain were rubbish to me. Dung, filth, worthless, not worth anything. Compared to what? Christ. We'll see that in a minute. You know what? Has God revealed to you this morning, listening to me, that your good deeds, your good person theology, your attempts to keep all these rules and regulations in the law, has he revealed to you the same that he revealed to Paul, that it is worthless, that it is dung, that it's rubbish, and it cannot impart the life, the spiritual life you so desire? Brothers and sisters, we have a hole in our heart, and we're seeking to fill that hole. And what that hole is not having spiritual life. That hole is the need of Jesus Christ. You can't fill it by being a good person. You need Jesus Christ to fill the hole in your heart. You need spiritual life. But so if you don't know Christ, you need to pray and receive him and say, Lord, I know I can't keep the law. I know I'm not a good person. I need forgiveness of my sins. I need spiritual life. Forgive me of my sins. Have you said that to God? Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Give me spiritual life. Have you said it? Or are you still at this point where I'm a good person compared to this one or that one? Brothers and sisters, compared to God, you are sinful and you need spiritual life. Amen? Ask him for forgiveness of your sins and he will give you his life. Forgive your sins, and that is the start of an intimate relationship with him. But brothers and sisters, not knowing him is a loss. Paul said it, and that's the truth. It's a loss, but it gets better. There's more to that than knowing Christ. Value of knowing Christ. Philippians 3, 8b to 9 states, in view, the value of knowing Christ, in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so they may gain Christ. And being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but from that through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes through faith, comes from God on the basis of faith. The Amplified says, the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, surpassing worth and supreme value of knowing Christ. Amen. Do you know the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know the surpassing value of him? There is no value in the law. There is no value in attempting to be good. There is only one thing, surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I'll take it one step further. There's no value in knowing anything except knowing Christ Jesus as your Lord. There's no value in anything except knowing Jesus as your Lord, brothers and sisters. Do you know the surpassing, overwhelming, precious value of Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you know him? Know him. The word, the Greek, gnoskos. Do you know him intimately? Like Paul wanted to know him. Intimately, brothers and sisters. Progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him is knowing him, brothers and sisters. Is knowing Christ your life's pursuit and a surpassing value in your life? Or are you just satisfied with knowing of him instead of knowing him? Are you satisfied with just knowing of him or knowing him? Brothers and sisters, there's value in knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, brothers and sisters. Paul says this in verse 9 also. And I might be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. You know what? There's surpassing value in knowing him. And he's saying, my righteousness wasn't derived from my own. I didn't get right with God from keeping the law. I didn't get right with God by being a good person. I only got right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe he died for your sins? Amen?
Amen.
Now, this idea of righteousness, being made right, that's what it means. You know, when we believe the gospel, we are made right. We're righteous, period. We're not progressively being made righteous, which I think is an error in the Christian circles we hear today. We say, well, I'm sort of righteous, and I'm becoming righteous as I walk in faith. No, you are righteous, period, by faith in Jesus Christ. You are made right, brothers and sisters. There's great value in knowing Christ. Amen? There's a surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ. Amen? Where are you placing your value? What is your purpose in life? What do you want out of life? Paul said, everything I did prior to knowing Christ was garbage, rubbish, worthless, compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Is that your attitude? Has God revealed that to you? I'm going to make a plea to you and urge you today to do that. Because nothing else matters in this world today, brothers and sisters, except the gospel message going out and you knowing Christ, the value of that, and him working in you and through you, brothers and sisters. That's what God wants to do. You know what? Your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable. Your faith in Christ and knowing him is more valuable than gold. That's what it says in 1 Peter 1, 7, the beginning. Knowing, the value of knowing Christ is great gain. Amen. And lastly, intimately knowing God, or not intimately knowing Christ. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. The Amplified says, the same way to know the power outflowing from the resurrection, which is exerted over all believers. You know, there's a knowing more intimately, brothers and sisters. He's saying, I want to know more intimately what? Him and the power of his resurrection. Do you want to know the power of his resurrection in your life? You know, you were resurrected with Christ, right? We know that. Romans 6:5 says, for if we've been united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. You are united to Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth that escaped me for many years. I am united to Jesus Christ. He is in me. I am in him. Brothers and sisters, the power of his resurrection is the same power that resurrected me when I died with him and rose with him on the cross. It's the same power. The power of his resurrection is in me. Amen? It's in you. Amen? Paul wants to know Christ and the power of resurrection. The Amplified says he wants to know about the outflowing from that resurrection, the outpouring from that resurrection, the flow of Christ's life through me, through him, through that resurrection. Brothers and sisters, Ephesians 1:19 and 20 says, and what is the surpassing greatness of the power towards us who believe? You know, there's a power. God's power towards us who believe is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Amen? It's in you. But did you know it's in you? Did you know you can tap into it? Did you know that the power of Christ that raised him from the dead is the same power that is in you? Amen? Jesus is in you. The power of resurrection is in you. Did you know it was in you? You might say, you know what? I've tried this, I've tried that. I've been a Christian for many years. I've been hearing preachers talk about the power of resurrection. I'm not experiencing the power. I don't see that in my life. It doesn't work. Well, maybe it's because you're pursuing the wrong things and knowing the wrong things to get that power. Maybe it is you're pursuing the wrong things thinking that's power. Maybe you're pursuing something that you were told that makes you think you have the power of Christ's resurrection in you and through you by doing this one thing. You know, maybe you've been told, to be a powerful Christian, I need this. I need a new program. I need a new method. I need a new way. No, that's not true. Or I need to add in some kind of psychology or humanistic teaching to the gospel to give me power. No, that's not true. Or I need to know the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation, every bit of the Bible. I need to have gone to seminary. I need to know all these things. Not wrong, but no, that's not the answer why you don't experience power. Or you need to know this, or you need to know that. You need to do this program, or you need to do that, or you need to pray more, or you need to read your Bible more. No, it's none of all that. To know the power of resurrection is simply this. Letting God's Spirit speak to your soul, listening for Him, teaching you, guiding you, showing you areas of unbelief, and when you believe, and when you take a step of faith in those things, His power flows through you. He is expressed through you, brothers and sisters. That's His power. That's His power. It's in you. Let Him unleash it through you by you believing, by you agreeing, by you yielding, by you saying, Lord, I offer myself to you as alive from the dead. Use me and teach me. Let your Spirit flow through me. Let your fruits flow through me, and I want to express yourself through me. That's the Christian life. That's the power we all seek. You know, the evil one, you know, does this a lot, brothers and sisters. He shows us something that we think is good. He shows us something that's a substitute for Christ. He shows us something to deceive us, not to realize the power comes from us within because Christ is in us, not from this other thing. Don't be deceived. The more deeply we come to know Him, we understand what we have in Him. We intimately know Him, and that power flows through us when we know about Him and His resurrection, because His resurrection is your resurrection. Do you understand that? Do you see that? Amen? It's power. Allow Him to live in you and through you. Intimately knowing Christ is great gain. Intimately knowing Him is great gain. And that was Paul's pursuit. And that was Paul's goal. Knowing Him, knowing me. Do you know Christ? If you don't, receive Him now. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. Knowing me, do you know who you are in Christ? Brothers and sisters, pursue knowing God. Pursue knowing Christ. Pursue knowing who you are in Christ. Paul's gain prior to salvation didn't gain him a thing. It was a bunch of religious activities trying to do good, counted as loss for knowing the surpassing value of Christ Jesus as Lord. And he wanted to know so much about what he had in him, the power of the resurrection. I want to know about that, Lord. That's what he said. Not knowing Christ is a great loss. You know, so many folks are wandering around aimlessly looking for something. Brothers and sisters, they need Christ. If you don't know Him, you need Christ. You need to fill the hole in your heart with Him. Okay? Not with things in the world, not with relationships, not with money, not with a career, not with drugs, not with addictions, no, not with alcohol, no. You need Jesus Christ, brother and sister. It's a loss. Paul said it. It's a passing value of knowing Christ Jesus. That's a great gain by knowing Him. That should be a life's pursuit, knowing Him. That's where we get victory, abundance, peace, a purpose, and contentment in life, when we know Him, and then the power of Him expressed through us. While we understand the power of His resurrection, and we allow Him to work in our lives. That's great gain, intimately knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. So as I leave off today, just want to say, know Him. Get to know Him. Make it a point to know Him. Make it a priority to intimately get deeper to knowing Him. Make it a goal in your life to know Him. And your life will change in a dramatic, victorious, abundant way. I'm going to close this in prayer, and we will see you next time. Lord Jesus, so thankful for today and that you held off the rain as we preached here outside, brothers and sisters. That you held off the rain, Lord. But I pray, Lord, those who don't know you would realize there's no value in any other thing but you. There's no value in any other thing but having your life. There's no value in any other thing that being resurrected with you to eternal life. I pray, Lord, those listening to me today would analyze and look at their lives and say, am I all these things I'm doing? They're a loss. Mean nothing. They're rubbish. In my attempt to be made right and accepted with you. Lord, I pray you penetrate hearts, your spirit would work, and those listening to me today would receive you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.